Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned. After the message, we'll see you then.
Amen. I'm going to ask you guys to open up your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. So Joshua chapter 24, we're going to read chapter verse 14 through 15. Again, Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 to 15. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, go ahead and look on the screen. Should be up there ready for you. The Bible says like this. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want everybody to repeat that part with me. Ready? One, two, three. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this privilege to be here amongst your people. I thank you, Lord, for this honor. Lord, I know that this position is not a position to take lightly. I know that whatever I speak also comes back to me. Lord, I know that this word that you have, Lord, is a word that is from you. Lord, I ask you that you help me to speak the things that you have shared with me. Help me to be that conduit, Lord, to speak in the way that you have seen fit. Father, use me, Lord, to do whatever it is you want me to do. Lord, I thank you for every heart mended, every heart healed. Lord, I declare that the devil be silent. In the name of Jesus, I cast out the enemy out of this place. Every deaf and dumb spirit, every neighing spirit, every spirit of hindrance, I declare it completely gone from this place. Father, I thank you for freedom. I thank you for keen hearing. I thank you for truth revelation, for impartation of your spirit. Father, thank you so much for what you will do today. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us start. Every morning, most of us have a routine that we do. Every morning, a lot of us get up, turn off the alarm. We take showers. We get our coffee ready. We, you know, for those of us who have pets, we walk the dog. We get our clothes ready, go to the closets, get our clothes prepared for the day. Every one of us has a routine that we do every single day. And in the routine, we have an opportunity to make a decision of what we will, what will our days be. We have a decision to make as how our day will be. We also have the choice on what we will allow into our lives. In other words, what we will allow to affect us. Every morning, a lot of people wake up, they immediately go to the social media, they go to the news, they go to, you know, whatever it is, that just to receive information. And it's built into the routine. A lot of people have it automatic. You know, as soon as the alarm is set at a certain point, they automatically, if they have Siri or if they have Alexa, they can program it to automatically at a certain time to raise up their windows, to play a song, or to play music. But there is a routine that we can set even within that program to do every single day. And like I said, in these times, in these moments, every day we have an opportunity to choose what we allow into our lives. It is a choice given to us. We're not forced to allow things. It's given to us to do so. Now, what we allow in our lives will dictate what we pay attention to, what we give our whole attention to. What we give our attention to will also drive who or what we give as priority. So whatever we choose to put first will give a window of what will happen through the day. Priority. Priority is first place. The significance of the first placement in our lives is very strong. It is a very critical and sensitive placement. What we give first place in our lives is very important. And that place is very critical. That which is in the first place determines what the second, third, or fourth, etc. will become. The first is what we give most attention to. If we wake up and our phones is the first thing we grab, 9 times out of 10, we'll be on there for 30 minutes just scrolling and looking at what's going on. If not in social media, we'll jump from app to app to app, try to get it all cleared out. That is the attention that it receives. It becomes priority in our lives. The first is what gears or determines most, if not all, what happens in that day. If you will see a message from a person that you like or don't like and it rubs you the wrong way, your whole day is messed up. Your whole day is focused on what that person said. Or focused on, if you read the news and see what's going on in the world, your mind will be focused on what did Biden do or what so-and-so did. And you'll be thinking about that. That'll be the conversation that'll be in your head the whole entire day. The first is who or what we become slaves to. The first thing we put into our lives, into our minds, and when we get up in the morning, is what we become slaves to. It's who we give service to. Who or what we give service to. Because like I said, as we read these things, we ponder on it. We allow it to affect our lives, determining how we feel for the day. Today I'm here to say, decide today who will be first in your life. Today is a day of decision making. Who will you put in first place in your life? Not what, it is the who. There are so many whats that become first because we choose for them to be first. There are so many whats, even whos, in this world that we put as first before anything else. But today is the day of decision. Well, we have to, as believing believers, as Christians, as human beings, that we have to make the choice to say who is going to take that position of first place. When we're in games, when we're challenging challenges, you got two teams, and the person who has first dibs gets to be able to pick the best player. Being the first in first place, you have the choice of anything in the situation. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to come together. He specifically called the leaders of the tribe of Israel. He called the elders, the heads, the judges, and other and officers, and they presented themselves before God, the Bible says. Now the Lord began to speak to Joshua, began to speak regarding the past fathers that were beyond the river. Abraham, the father of Abraham, and the father of Noah, whom served other gods. Their lives was to serve anything. Their minds were focused not on God, but on other things. But then Abraham was born, and God took Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants, and he gave him Isaac. God took Abraham out of what he knew, what he was born into, brought him out of the religious thinking, the religious way of acting, took him out for a purpose and a reason. He was taken out of a place he was unfamiliar with. Abraham had a choice to follow dad's ways in religion or God's ways in religion, in lifestyle, in living. Because Abraham made a choice to put God first, the Lord was able to bless him. Abraham was considered the father of faith. He had major faith because he went with God's direction. He was a blessed man, a man whose God's eyes were upon. Abraham had Isaac, and God gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau he gave Mount Seir to possess, but Jacob decided to do his own thing. Jacob decided to not wait for the Lord to tell him what he needed to do or what he should have received from the Lord, but Jacob chose to go his own way, and he went the way of Egypt. The Bible says that he took his sons, his family, and he went to Egypt. Now, I don't know if you remember, but the people of God that were in Egypt were slaves for many years. So because of the decision of one man, many suffered the consequence. What we put first not only affects us, it affects those around us, but I know not only in the present time, but in the time to come. One thing that is never looked at when we make decisions, a lot of times we make decisions in the now, but not thinking, not considering the fact that the decisions that we're making will affect those that will come after. What we say, what we do, how we act, how we think, those decisions affect. It causes effect not just in the current time, but it affects those things that are coming. It affects our children. It affects their children, and so on and so on. So here is a time where we look at Jacob and see what he did. Because he chose to go with what he thought was first place, it affected the people of God to the point where they became slaves. Now, because they became slaves, the Lord had to raise up a couple of people. The Lord lifted up Moses and Aaron. He had to create an escape for the people because of the decision of one man. Side note, it doesn't matter what you're going through, and it doesn't matter if you feel like you missed the mark. I want to tell you that there is another way off the highway. There is another way off the ramp. It's like when you go through the freeway and you miss your turn, there is another one ahead of you. So don't feel guilty because you didn't obey God in this moment or that moment. The Lord is so merciful that he will give you another opportunity to do what he's called you to do. Your purpose and your plan is not through yet. I was meditating and talking to my wife about my life and how I am so grateful to God. Because there was a time in my life where I thought ministry was no longer a thing for me. I thought I lost everything. There's even a moment in that time that I wanted to commit suicide because I thought I lost everything. Because the mistakes that I made in my life that not only affected me, affected my family, affected the people around me. And I thought that was it. I remember working in a call center, and I got a hold of some music from Notorious B.I.G. Y'all can know my Anyways, but the song, oh, the devil's so, he's smart. He's not dumb. The devil knows how to get you when you're down. This song came to me. I don't know how I got a hold of it, but the song, the lyrics were, "Forget it, I want to go to hell. Because I'm not worth it." And it's not hard to tell. And I just kept on listening to that song over and over and over again. And I started receiving those words inside my heart, inside my life. And there was times I was sitting there on my desk just contemplating, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? I wasn't even thinking about my family. Wasn't thinking about them. I was just thinking about all the stuff that I lost that I would never, ever get back again. And it's so tricky how whatever we put first will move the mountains of our lives, will move our movement, will move through our actions, everything. It is so critical what we put first. When I came to, that's why I thank God for my pastor. Because he got me through some stuff. Stuff that he didn't know, but just being who he was made me realize that my life wasn't done yet. As long as I still have breath in my lungs, as long as I can still breathe, the plan that God has for me will come to pass. It didn't matter what I did in the past. As long as I realize that he loves me and that he forgives me no matter what I did, I can continue on holding my head high. You see, the devil likes to come in and bring you down and agree with you saying, I'm not, I can't do it. I can never do it. He will agree with you. He'll be right next to you. He will be your friend at that moment telling you, yeah, you're not worth it. You won't make it. Can I tell you, he's a liar. He is a liar. And he will do all he can to bring you down. He will cause you to think that people are thinking things of you that aren't really true. And 9 times out of 10, those people aren't even thinking about you. But here comes the devil, putting things in your ears, putting things in your mind, bringing thoughts to you that aren't true at all. And what he will do, he will grab you and he will start to pull you away, making you isolate. So that when you're over here, and everybody's over there, he has all his people around you, able to do whatever he wants with you. Then you become a puppet. Then you're under his grip. He can manipulate you and do whatever he wants with you. This is why it's so critical that no matter what happens, we have to come together as a body of Christ. Even if you don't feel like coming to church, that's when you should come to church. Because it could be you, but it could also be the enemy putting in you, no, you don't need to go. It's so important that we gather together as a family so that isolation doesn't happen. Because when isolation happens, that's when we're the most vulnerable. And we cannot do it. We cannot do that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Because of Jacob, because of what he did, the Lord had to bring Moses and Aaron to free the people who were slaves for many years. Now, Pharaoh was hard-headed, hard-hearted. He did not want to let the people go. So the Lord had to bring plagues, had to send things to make him to let people go. And he finally did. But then when he let the people go, he came to say, wait a minute, who's going to do all this work? And so he sent the Egyptian army after the people of God, thinking, trusting in himself, seeing the people cross over the river, them thinking, well, it's safe because they crossed. But as soon as they got in the water, they were overcome with the water. Ain't God so good? Well, God will open up a way in every single obstacle. But not only that, he will close it so that the enemy doesn't get in and steal what he did for you. Don't be upset if the Lord closes doors on you. That doesn't mean he doesn't love you. That means what you could have went through could have not been for you. What the Bible says, those who wait on the Lord, what? So if you want to be strong, wait. Wait. Okay, after being freed, they were pursued by the Egyptians with chariots and horsemen, the Red Sea, but it's failed for the Egyptians. After this, the people of God lived in the wilderness for 40 years. They went walking around for 40 years, and this time they went to the land of Amorites and fought against them, but the Lord prevailed. The Lord gave them the land. They also crossed the Jordan to Jericho, and again, the Lord gave them the land. They met up against the king of Moab. His name is Balak. King Balak, when he saw and heard of what was going on, he was so afraid of the people of Israel that he summoned a man by the name of Balaam. I don't know if you're familiar with Balaam. Balaam was a man who was known for whoever he cursed will be cursed, and whoever he blessed will be blessed. And so this king decided to call Balaam to come and tell him to curse the people of God. But then the Lord spoke to Balaam and told him, no, they are a blessed people. They are my people. So Balaam did exactly what the Lord said. And the amazing thing about this story is that not only did he not curse the people of God, but he also blessed them three times. Isn't it amazing how God can turn what the devil meant for bad, and he will go ahead and bless you anyway? He'll go ahead and cause favor to come to you like never before. When you have all your co-workers speaking negative against you, and all of a sudden you get promoted, all of a sudden you get a raise, when you're thinking, man, everybody is against me, and all of a sudden you're called upon to do greater things. That's the Lord we serve. That's the Lord we go with. It is important that we make sure we choose the right thing or person to put first. Whenever we put something in the place of first, whenever we put something instead of God in the place of first, it becomes the master of our lives. It becomes something that we devote ourselves to. Whatever we put, the first place of our lives should always be God. Amen. But when we don't do that, we start to devote our attention, our lives, our whole mentality to whatever we put in first. And if it's not God, then who is it? What is it? In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, God says, what do you say? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, he wasn't just talking about gods per se. He's talking about anything. Because anything can become an idol. Anything can become primary before God. That means nothing should ever come before him. An object or thing doesn't have to be a god. It can be the presence of something. It can be a person, place, or a thing. Whatever it is, it's already taken the place of God. When we choose to make God first, no matter what comes up against us, we will always be victorious. We will always have victory. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if I can get that on the screen. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Hallelujah. It says like this. If you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and open up your Bibles. So Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, what? So who? No one. Ain't no thing gonna come against us. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be Goliath, but ain't gonna do nothing to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Turn your Bibles there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Says, but thanks be to God, who what? Gives us what? The victory. So who gives us the victory? Do you do it on your own? No. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot be victorious on our own. But as long as we put God first, who can be against us? For it is He who gives us the victory. The people of God went against different kings, different lands. They went against major armies that were more than likely better than they were. The people of God didn't have the technology or all the things that these big kingdoms had. But one thing that they have is that they put God first. They did not act on their own thoughts or their own ways of doing war. They waited on the Lord to tell them when and where to go. And when they did that, they were always victorious. They always were successful. But that only happens when we put God first. When we choose to make God our first, there is no room for worry, no room for stress, no room for anxiety. There is no room for these things. Why? Because it's not your problem. It's not your problem to worry. It's not your problem what's going on around you. Yes, it affects you, but it's not you. When we put everything in His hands, it's the Lord's problem. All we got to do is just look at Him and worship Him and follow Him. When we choose to put Him first, He takes care of all our needs according to His riches and glory. Not according to what we have in our accounts or what we have in our hands. It's according to what He can do. That is why there's no room for stress, no room for worry, no room for anxiety, because the Bible says to be anxious for nothing. Everything is in His hands. Bible says 11 chapter 20, Matthew chapter 11 verse 29 says, take My yoke upon you and learn. In order for us to take the yoke, His yoke, we have to take ours off. And if you don't take yours off, then you're going to be carrying a load that's not meant for you to carry. Why would you want to carry a burden that does not belong to you? It's like choosing to pick up a backpack of boulders and carry around all day because you just want to. It's not meant for you to carry. This burden, these things that happen in life is not meant for us to take along with us. Because when we die, what's going to happen? It's still going to be there. Those things will still exist. But when we choose to take off our yoke and put on the yoke of Jesus, what does it say? Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Why won't you want to live a life relaxed? Why won't you want to live a life of rest? Instead, we got gray hairs everywhere, and we got wrinkles everywhere, our back's hurting, the dog's hurting because we kick him all the time. Why? No, it's not about that, family. It's about trusting in the Lord with all our hearts and leading not into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. So if you're concerned or worried about something, acknowledge Him, and He will direct you in what to do. It's a simple process, but yet we make it complicated. We make this process complicated. The Lord said, I'm here. Go over there. But Lord, where? And I'm guilty of this too. I am guilty of trying to do things on my own. And what happens, these things happen. Gray hairs come out. I get all this messed up. But when we choose to look and trust in the Lord and not lean on what we think, that is when we will be victorious forever. When we put God first, hear me out, people. Hear me out, family. When we put God first, I guarantee our lives will change dramatically. Because it will no longer be about what we can do, but it will be about what He has done and will continue to do. Yes, the Bible says we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us, but here's the point. It's Christ who strengthens us. That's the factor there. It's not our own strength or our own abilities, our own concept, our own ideas, our own ways of doing things. It's Christ who strengthens us to continue on in this walk. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. When we choose to make God our first, that means everything else has to come after. Everything else includes everything. I might get bad looks right here. Everything else means your thoughts, your ideas, your concepts, your job, your finances, your marriage, your spouse, your kids. They all have to come after. They have to. It sounds contradicting. It doesn't sound right, but it has to come after. Because the only way any of this will work is if the Lord is the nucleus, if He is the first of our lives. If you are dealing with issues with your marriage, or dealing with issues with your children, issues at your job, put Him first. And I guarantee those problems will start to go away. Because He's going to do the work, not us. Look what the Bible says. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Can you put it on the screen, please? Go ahead and open up your Bibles as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. If you have it, say amen. It says, and we know that God caused what? All things to work together for good to those who love God. If you want your marriage to work, if you want your job to work, if you want your finances to function well, stop acting funny. If you want your kids to start doing right, put God first. Put Him first. Be above all things, put Him first. I know there are many in this room that can testify to that. At the moment they put God first, everything just started changing. When we put God as in first place, as primary in our lives, man, ain't no devil in hell can get up in there and do anything. Because God can do all things. I'm going to finish with this. Now the question is, how can we put God first? First, make Him part of your routine. Make Him part of the things that you do every single day. But don't just include Him in the things you do, but let Him be the first that you do. Every day you wake up, let Him be the first. As soon as your eyes open, get on your knees and pray. Read His word. Look how simple the Lord made it to read His word. Book of Proverbs. How many chapters does it have? 31. If you don't know what to read, read the chapter of the day. He made it so simple. Read the word. Pray. Make that be the first thing you do every morning. And I guarantee your day will be different. Because the things of this world will make or break you, but the Word of God will always make you and build you. It will make you become the man and woman He has destined for you to be. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, He made us before the foundations of this world. What astonished me in that is that He made us. That means He already finished every work. He did everything that was going to happen in our lives before the earth, before it was ever made. So your plan was already created, your beginning, your end, the things that you're going to do, your ministry, the calling that you have upon your life was already done than he made everything else. Before the foundations of the world. The next thing, pick a day throughout the week. Pick a day throughout the week to fast. You know, fasting hasn't been talked about a lot. It's not a well talked about subject. People hesitate when it comes to fasting. But and people have the misconception thinking that what fasting it does, it opens up the door to heaven to allow you to be heard by God. But it's not really about that. What fasting does is puts you down and it lifts him up. Because when we fast, we are telling our bodies, you don't come first. He comes first. So what that does is if you ever have problems with temptation, with drinking, with smoking, whatever, watching pornography, whatever it is, when you start to fast, when you fast, you're telling your body that you're not in charge. He's in charge. And while we're fasting and not eating, we are getting into the Word and we're praying. We're building up our spirit. So what happens is the next time you get tempted to do those things, now you have the power of the Holy Spirit even stronger in you because your flesh is lowered. So pick a day to fast. If you can't fast all day, if you can't do a full fast, fast at breakfast, fast lunch, fast dinner, fast TV, fast social media. Please fast social media once in a while. But pick a day to fast the other week. So, how do we put God first? Reading the Word, get into prayer, and fasting. I would say the three pillars of a godly life. Joshua. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So today I have a question for you, and it's only for those who make the decision. If today you're going to make the decision to put God first, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. Come to the altar as a sign of stating, God, I'm putting you first in my life. Don't care about who's looking at you. Forget about everybody else. And don't wait anybody else to do it. You make the decision. It's between you and God. If you're going to choose this day to put him first, why don't you come to this altar and just submit yourself unto him. Don't wait for anybody else to talk. Don't wait for anybody else to say anything. You start submitting yourself. Say, Lord, this day I submit myself unto you, Father. Lord, we submit, Lord. Lord, forgive us, Lord God, for putting you second. Lord, this day we choose to put you first. We choose to put you ahead, Lord God, of our lives. Lord, we push away everything else. We put him, Lord, last. We put you first this day because you deserve the place of first. You deserve the first place of our lives, Father. This day, Lord God, we choose you, Father. We choose you, Lord God, today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory, 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 glory. Choose you, Lord. We choose you. We choose you. We choose you to be first. In the name of Jesus, we choose you to be first. We choose you to be first. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We choose you to be first, God Almighty. You are primary, Lord. You are primary, Lord God. Lord, forgive us for putting you second, Lord. But this day, we choose to make you first. We choose to make you first, God. You are first, Lord. You are first, God. You are first, Lord Jesus.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the Word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the Word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnership. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time. Thank you.